You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
So apparently Mark Berman is refuting Garofalo's story. He's saying that he was on the Corn Ferry list.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So he's getting that from the Texans. So where was Garofalo getting it?
I don't know.
Agent or Corn Ferry? Somebody leaks it to him. So Garofalo's agent, his info might be wrong.
It might be. Don't know. He doesn't in this story doesn't say that he was on the Corn Ferry list, but he does say Texans will name Caserio, director of player personnel, their new GM. Cal gets the man he and his search committee identified as the right choice. Now the search committee is that Corn Ferry or is that Jimmy Johnson? Is that those were just consultants. The search committee was Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
So Berman is saying that he was, I guess that's saying, he doesn't say, he does not say that it's particular, he just says search committee. Is there anywhere where Mark Berman says he was on the Corn Ferry list? I don't see that. I don't see that anywhere. But I do see he says who the search committee identified. He was identified by the search committee. Also, we haven't even mentioned this. Caleb Mills is transferring from U of H.
Yeah.
Apparently, he was injured, and he's coming off the bench and not doing all that much. He's a big-time player, and he says, I'm out. I'm out of at U of H. They've fallen to number 11, did U of H, with their loss last week. And apparently Caleb Mills was not a major component of what the Cougs were doing, so he wants out, and he's on his way out. So 801 ESPN 97.5, 815, Field Yates is going to join us. Field Yates was in the Patriots organization, now works for ESPN, now and will tell us, give us some great insight.
Feels very sharp. Yeah, I got to talk to him about this yesterday, and he's got some great insight.
Yeah.
About Nick Caserio. I'm disappointed with how the Texans apparently continue to do things, at least the optics. Maybe we're wrong, but the optics are really not good. However, it doesn't mean that Nick Caserio doesn't have a chance to be a good GM.
Yeah.
He does. And the only thing I really care about is that they get it right. I do not want Jack Easterby's fingerprints on this organization. So if he is neutered and all he's doing is giving people placards that tell them how great they are and positive thinking, that's fine. Be the Tony Robbins of the team. Just get out of here with football stuff. Okay?
But he already, we're alleging that he made a football decision, or at least had a big part in it, bringing Nick Caserio on board.
Well, he may have. I don't know. Now, Nick
that's
Caserio,
not a football decision, though.
Well, you're hiring
that's
a football guy.
Yeah. The football decision.
Well, Well, listen, and Caserio may be a great choice. A great football. We haven't seen it really in New England.
What is the evidence other than he was associated with Bill Belichick that he's a great choice?
Yeah,
we're guessing, right? We're hoping and praying.
No, well, we're looking at their draft, and it's not. It's
the last
not great.
Several years have put them in a bad position.
Yeah, no.
So
it's not great.
If he had done this with the Lions, if his track record the last 6 years was in an organization that was named the Detroit Lions, would he have a job?
No.
Well, no, but he didn't have the success. The Lions haven't had the success of the Patriots.
But his most,
but you can't separate
the guy who
the
guy who created that success. He didn't have any part in drafting.
I don't want anybody from. Here's the thing: who wants anyone from the Detroit Lions organization?
Nick Caserio wasn't there when they drafted Tom Brady.
Yeah,
no,
their greatest success.
When did Nick Caserio come to the Patriots? They say he's jacked too. Like,
the
dude is a work. I'm telling you, he throws. At free agent workouts and all that stuff, he's the guy who's the throwing quarterback.
He was a personal assistant in 2001, which is right around the time
all
Brady
right.
got there. He became a
How
scout.
Old is Nick?
He's 45. Became a scout in 2003. He's been there since 2001 in some shape or form. And became, a football guy in 2003. But all I'm saying is I understand no one wants anybody from the Lions. But the recent track record of Nick Caserio, the only reason we're even suggesting that this could work out is because – he happened to be there when Tom Brady was there.
Well, I mean, it's a viable argument against anybody from the Patriots. It just is. And it got more viable this year when the Patriots collapsed and Tom Brady is in the playoffs with Tampa Bay. So it just became more viable. The argument that people have made, guys like Bill O'Brien. Now, Bill O'Brien actually had success with the Texans, a relative level of success. He's the most successful head coach in Houston history, for what that matters. But it left such a bad taste. And he also tore down the organization completely. I mean, he really gutted this organization. So when you look at it, you know, Romeo Crennel is a former Bill Belichick guy. People don't mention him very often. Nick Saban is a former Bill Belichick guy. People don't mention him very often. But once you get outside of that, Josh McDaniels, massive flame out very early on.
Well, Romeo Crennel's Romeo record.
Flamed out no. with the Cleveland
Eric Mangini.
Yeah.
Eric Mangini.
Matt Patricia.
Patricia.
The big Notre Dame coach.
Charlie Weiss.
Was Marone ever a New England guy? He feels like he might have been.
Well, he and O'Brien were both.
Oh, no. The guy from Rutgers.
Greg Schiano?
Yeah, was Schiano ever Notre Dame? Was he ever a Patriot?
I don't know. Do you call the guys who Belichick had on the Brown staff? Like Nick Saban was a Brown staff guy.
Well, Ozzie, you know who he had? He had Ozzie. Yeah. He had Bill Belichick.
I'm not calling Ozzie a Bill Belichick guy.
He'll tell you he learned a lot of his stuff from Bill Belichick. Uh-huh. He is. So is Nick Saban. Nick Saban's a Bill Belichick guy.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, they are Bill Belichick guys. I mean, Nick has developed himself outside of that. But they did all start together and had the same. Like, they had some success.
Nick Saban was an Oiler guy.
He was that, but he was a defense coordinator in Cleveland with Bill Belichick. Before they moved.
But he only was a head coach for a year, but he was a head coach at Toledo for a year before he took that job.
Who's that?
Nick Saban.
Yeah. But he was with Belichick, and that's why he and Belichick.
He was with Belichick
so
for a year?
No, he was the head coach at Toledo for a year, then joined Bill Belichick in Cleveland. Went 9-2 at Toledo, and then joined Belichick the next year. That's a weird transition, being the head coach at a college football and then going to be the DC in Cleveland. I get it's in the NFL, but that doesn't happen today. And then he went on to Michigan State. So I guess he's a Belichick guy, but he already established himself enough to be a head coach.
Oh, no, but he is. That's why they're so tight. And that's why there's so many. There's a pipeline of Alabama guys. They believe in the same things fundamentally. Did you guys ever see the Belichick and Saban documentary where they're talking football on HBO? If you haven't, highly recommend. It's phenomenal. They just sit and talk football about different things. It is a great, great watch. But they're very, very tight.
All right, we got to get a call in here because Field Yates is going to join us here in just a minute. What do you say, Eric? What's going on?
Good morning, gentlemen. So, Lance touched on it a few minutes ago. For all we know, Caserio could be a real good GM or whatever, but it is the way it looks and it's the way it feels to the fans and even the players. The McNairs have been tone deaf to their fans and players for years. I mean, the McNairs are the reason Dwayne Brown left. He didn't like the way they dealt with things. You go back to Andre Johnson on the Arian Foster podcast talking about how, you know, when Obama won the election, the McNairs came in and were like, well, we don't really like this. And then they had the barbecue in the parking lot and all that stuff. It looks to the Texans fans, it looks to us like, you know, anytime somebody says Patriots, you know, Cal gets erect. And it's like, ooh, what can we do? What can we do? What can we take from them? What can we get?
How can we be
like them? And it you know, the players deserve more than this. The players deserve a better optic than this. They deserve, you know, J.J. Watt's busting his ass. You're going to waste Watson. I mean, even their radio guys, the voices that have to talk about these games all the time, you know they got to be sitting up there going, oh, God, we got to do this again this week. We got to try to make this look good. It's dumb, you know. They think the fans are just going to get excited. Hey, look, we hired somebody, and, you know, here's our logo and, you know, another Texans first down and all this crap. And we just get tired of the same old crap over and over and over again. They want us to think they care about winning. They want us to think they care about championships, and they're looking for championships, but they just want to be the damn Patriots, and it's getting stupid.
Oh, yeah. I'll give you an example.
All right. Well, it's 8:10. We got to take a break.
Well, just real quick, I'll give you a quick example. All you need to know about this organization, and this is a Bob McNair thing, he went out and got a Patriot beater in Ed Reed. His whole thing for getting Ed Reed and letting Glover Quinn walk is this guy knows how to beat the Patriots. So we want to do something somebody else does. Not having an idea of how to build it yourself, trying to just do things like get an old beaten up safety because he's beat the Patriots before, that just shows you the level of no understanding this organization has had and how they function.
Well, and there's a lot of things to refute. First of all, Duane Brown left because of money. Make no mistake about it. The Texans didn't want to pay him, and then he created an atmosphere where he was forced. He forced himself out of here. So Duane Brown left because the Texans didn't want to pay him. So to me, there's a lot of other stuff, but we can't get to it now. We're going to have Field Yates on the other side to talk about Nick Caserio. He's got some insight, great insight for us next right here. Right now, though, Jeff Aronoff is what I'm talking about here on ESPN 97.5. Jeff Aronoff is the guy that's going to Dell was referring to him, how he does everything big. Every single thing that Jeff Aronoff does, it's big. It's an entire outdoor kitchen. It's an redoing your entire kitchen or game room or whatever it is, putting in all the flooring and countertops and bar. You want a new bar area. Jeff Aronoff could get that. He'll do that for you. You want a new outdoor kitchen thing. That's no small task. It is a big job. And Jeff Aronoff did ours and he can do yours. And I'm telling you, it will improve the value of your home or your business. You're looking for the best way to make money on your investment. This is probably the biggest investment in your life is your home or your business. Make it better and make it bigger. Make it much more valuable with Jeff Aronoff. 713-880-2822, 713-880-2822. It's absolute marble and granite.
Stay up to date with the latest innovations hitting the city of Houston by visiting innovationmap.com or follow them on any of your social media platforms. Just search Innovation Map. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
8:14 here on The Bench, ESPN 97.5. You can also hear it on 92.5 and make sure you tell people to stream. You might want to text your buddies right now and have them tune in as quickly as possible, either through the app or on the radio. As we are being joined by a guy who I have a lot of respect for. I've watched him rise up the ranks. He does a phenomenal job with pro football, fantasy football, insider info. And I just think he's one of the really good guys in this business. And that's Field Yates joins us today from ESPN. What's up, Fields? How you doing, man?
Hey, I'm doing well, guys. I appreciate you having me on. And Lance, you know, I always love the opportunity to catch up, whether it's on your radio show, on the phone, on the car ride home, you name it. So always a good talk shop.
Field also lives his best life on Instagram. He is, when I grow up, I want to be Field Yates. I want to be Field Yates when I grow up, for sure, 100%.
Soon enough, Lance, I'll be, you know.
You're a married man, right? Do you have a kid yet?
Like you.
You're married now, right?
Yes, I am, but still two of us and a dog for now.
So oh, one day, that's plenty.
We'll have the compound like the Zierlein, and kids running around everywhere.
It's plenty.
More than enough. Yeah.
You're more than enough. You're doing great right now. Hey, okay, let's get right into this. You're a guy who, first of all, tell us your background. Tell people about your background in terms of your knowledge of the Patriots and kind of your background, how you got started.
Yeah, I had the opportunity to work with the Patriots during my college years. I would say, Lance and John, the closest thing to compare it to would be an internship, but it wasn't like, you go online and you apply for something. This was just right place and right time. And so I sort of cut my teeth in the scouting world and coaching world with the Patriots. So spent a lot of time over the course of a four-year period in that building and learning the ins and outs of scouting before, after college, taking a job with the Chiefs, which at the time were led by Scott Pioli, who, of course, was with the Patriots for a long time. So that's the thread between those two organizations that led to me being in Kansas City. But obviously had a lot of exposure to somebody like Nick Casario, who new man in Houston, and had the chance to learn from him, amongst many others, but not just learn, also observe and see why people that have had success in the past or continue to have success are able to do exactly that.
Field Yates with us here on ESPN 97.5. Here in Houston, Field, the optics look terrible. A year and a half ago, you had the ring ceremony. You had the tampering charges. The next day, Brian Gain is fired. Nick Casario was the guy that they wanted. The Patriots stopped it with the tampering stuff. And then a year and a half later, 2 days after the Patriots end their season, one interview, he's named the GM. It seems like this has been the plan all along, and all the other stuff here is a ruse. What's it look from outside?
Yeah, I would say that you're right there in the sense that this was maybe not the inevitable conclusion, but the most likely conclusion to the wild goose chase surrounding Nick Casario. And as we know, obviously in the NFL, and like a lot of industries, familiarity is an incredibly powerful force. Nick Casario and his connection to Jack Easterby is obvious. But I would say that it's not quite just that simple. I think if Nick had landed a job with any other team as their general manager, you would have heard from whether it was Carolina or whether it was Jacksonville or any of the other vacancies that that team just landed one of the most respected evaluators in the NFL. Nick has been, even if not in title, he has been essentially the Patriots' general manager for quite some time now, since the departure of Scott Pioli back in 2009. So it's been close to a decade of Nick overseeing much of the scouting operation. And that's why, even though the tie to Jack is obvious here, and that certainly was one of the first seeds planted, I think this is a hire that I think is maybe representative of more than just a connection.
Field, I don't know how much you know about Jack Easterby, if you know him, but Do you have an opinion about him being still in the – because I'm assuming he's still going to be in the building. And it looks like – you know, you just talked about that and refuted some of that. And I think Nick Casario is his own man. But we are not real happy here in Houston. And I don't know how much you've read about the Jack Easterby situation. I don't know how much you've heard behind the scenes. But the city of Houston is not really that excited about a guy with such limited football – you know, acumen and background, making the moves that he made with Bill O'Brien that essentially put this organization in a really bad spot, and yet somehow he's still sticking around. Any opinion of that, or do you know of anything regarding Easterby?
Right, right. So let me just go back one step, Lance, just to make clear that, well, I don't want to say that the tie to Jack Easterby is not influential in the hiring of Nick Casario. I do want to say that, like, Nick is not earning the job merely because of his connections, right? Like, Nick was one of the most qualified candidates in the NFL this offseason. So I want to make that part very clear. But of course, the tie to Jack is a big part of that. So here's what I would say about Jack. Jack Easterby is somebody that is suited for a particular role. And it seemed like the influence that he had, and maybe still has, in the Houston organization is something that made a lot of people uncomfortable. And I will just say this, is that people that were either on the periphery of the GM search or people that just were regarded as potential GM candidates down the road were uncomfortable with the role there. That was one of the biggest question marks for this job. But we all know the limitations in terms of some of the roster concerns, and then also the fact that you have no first-round pick. You don't have your original second-round pick as well this year. But the biggest question was, what role does he have in this organization? And while, you know, these people haven't spent time inside the walls of Houston, they've read and listened to a lot of the same stuff that those of us that aren't in Houston and those of us that are in Houston day-to-day have listened to. You need to have a specific role for Jack Easterby, whatever that role may be. But it's worth noting that, you know, his last role in New England, I don't know if there was a perfect word that described all of it, but it was some combination of, you know, character coach, team chaplain, something that's not really the person who's calling the shots personnel-wise and doing contracts. It was a much more expanded role in Houston than it was during his concluding time in New England. And I think if you're Nick Caserio, even if you have a strong relationship, it best suits you to have him in a much more specific role, closer to what he was in New England, than a prominent football role. Like, I'm not trying to say that you can't develop into a prominent football role regardless of your background, but it's a fast rise to go from where he was a couple of years ago in New England to where he seemingly was this past year in Houston.
We got Phil Yates with us here, ESPN NFL insider on ESPN 97.5. He worked in the New England organization. You have knowledge of how that operation works. We went through the drafts of the New England Patriots, and you look at their roster now, Field, it's not good. It's just not good. And when you go through their drafts since 2012, you've got Joe Thuney. You've got, it's really not good. What's the power ranking there? And was Caserio responsible for these drafts, or does the ultimate blame fall on Bill Belichick?
Well, Bill Belichick has the final authority on the draft, but I think sometimes with all personnel decisions, but I think honestly, sometimes I know why it's important to GMs and coaches when they're hired. I do sometimes think that a little bit of that, who is in final control becomes a little bit overinflated in terms of value, because ultimately it's not like one person does all the scouting and then all the decision making. It's months and months of studying and collaboration and conversations. So I will say this about the Patriots roster. Is you're right. There are some massive holes right now in the Patriots roster. I think it's also fair to note that, A, they spent 20 years at or near the top of the NFL standings. Like, they haven't had a first-round pick in the top half of the draft in forever. Like, that is that right there is the sweet spot. I'm not saying that, you know, teams don't find great players in the back half of the first round, the second round, the third round, etc. There are countless examples of really, really good players from any of those avenues. But the best shot for franchise-altering talent that can make a lot of the other talent around it look really good is when you have a pick in the top 5, 8, or 10. Patriots haven't had that in forever. They're picking 15th, I believe it is, this year, and it feels like they're picking first overall relative to where they have been for so long. The other thing is that when you are at the top of the standings, two things. One, you've got a lot of players that are making a lot of money, because they have had good players on their roster. And so your flexibility in the free agent market is not going to be significant. So you're not going to be able to go big game hunting in free agency. And the last thing I'll say, and I know I expressed this to Lance in a previous conversation, is that, you know, you're not necessarily equipped to, when you're that close, you're going to be more interested on occasion in trading mid or late round picks for veterans that you know are proven commodities. Or in the draft, you might not have as much time to develop players that might need 2 or 3 seasons as you would be if you were in the building process of your roster. So I know that you look at the Patriots roster right now, and it's not the one, like, it's not like it's chock full of players that you can count on being 10 or 15 year starters, or even, like, you know, elite Pro Bowl players the next 3 to 4 years. I get that. I will just say this. I would stand and pound the table for not just Bill Belichick, but Nick Caserio as outstanding evaluators, roster builders. And if you speak to anybody who spent time around Nick Caserio, I believe strongly that they would feel very much in line with what I was just saying about his acumen as a roster builder and his eye for talent. I really do believe this is going to work out well from a personnel standpoint for the Houston Texans.
And certainly being a GM is more than drafting. I mean, you're re-signing your own free agents, getting good contracts, understanding when to let contracts go, understanding the timing of when to draft and what positions to draft and where the values are. And I would say the thing that has been most impressive about the Patriots is their ability to move back and stock draft capital, which is something that this organization has never been good at. Quickly before,
well, by the way, go ahead. Too, I agree on that. Is like, when was the last time you heard about, you know, like the Patriots? I get it. They have not. This past year was tough for them, right? But 20 years of greatness, right? And Tom Brady, greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion. I truly believe that. But I saw a stat yesterday that I'm gonna probably butcher a little bit. But it was actually reflective of Deshaun Watson. I want to say Deshaun had, I think, like, you know, a certain number of games this year where he threw at least 10 passes. He had over like a 100 quarterback rating, and the Texans had like a losing record. They lost like 3 out of those 4 games or something. Like, Brady's had that happen to him. Apparently, it was like 11 times in his entire career. So what I'm trying to say is that you can simultaneously accurately assign Tom Brady as the greatest quarterback of all time, and also note that there were a lot of really good players part of that run that helped the Patriots build successful defenses. They were always good on special teams. They had good players on offense. And I just think that, you know, yes, the Patriots right now, in terms of blue chip talent, they're not where you'd look at, I don't know, pick a team around the NFL that's sort of on the rise right now, probably has more blue chip talent. But I do believe there is a lot of infrastructure in place in New England that is reflective of a smart roster construction standpoint.
Good, because there's a crap load of stuff to be done here. And the first one is going to be deciding on what to do with J.J. Watt. Do you cut him and save that the salary cap space and use it on players, or do you try to move him and create more picks for Caserio to use?
Yeah, I think here's the one thing.
Or
that
play
I would
it
say
out.
About
I didn't say C. Or play it out and let him play this year.
Yeah, here's what I would say about J.J. is that the reason why this is different compared to previous years or other situations, and I don't know this for a fact, but it just seems in viewing J.J. and listening to some of the things that he has said, I think he kind of understands that there's at least a possibility he's played his last game with the Houston Texans. I believe he conceded as much on Sunday, right? He understands the business side of it. And if he is okay with the possibility of being traded, I think that makes the job a lot easier. What's tough is when you go somewhere and you make a really unpopular decision in the court of public opinion and the player's completely blindsided by it. It seems like J.J. understands the circumstances more than other star players might have understood the circumstances when they themselves were previously released or cut. I'm not saying that it's going to be easy. I'm not saying that all fans are going to agree with it. But if J.J. Watt were traded, and obviously J.J. still brings a lot to the table, not just as a player, but also as a human, a teammate, a culture standpoint, I think fans would understand that, hey, it was an incredible run, most iconic player in franchise history until Deshaun's career is over, and a guy that, you know, could help be a chip for them to move forward. It might help them get some draft capital, which, as you guys have both noted, is desperately needed right now.
Field Yates. So, Field, ESPN, by the way. Bob Lamont, okay? Both Caserio and Easterby are Lamont guys. Do we look to Brian Daboll as being the head coach because of this Lamont trifecta that we could see?
I do think that Brian Daboll is on the list. It just makes too much sense, in my opinion. And I don't know that it's simply – I think it's much more than just the shared representation of Bob Lamont. You know, I think it's worth noting on these coaching candidates that, like, there's only, like, 3 or 4, like, really popular coaching agents. So it turns out, like, a lot of the people that you're hearing about have Bob Lamont or Trace Armstrong or some of the other coaching agents that are prominent here in the NFL. And I know it's hard to not look just at the Bob Lamont tie in some ways. I would say also that there is like a really compelling case for Brian Daboll. If I was his agent, right? Like, he has done an awesome job with Josh Allen. He's done a good job with that Bills offense in general. He's been around the NFL for a long time. He's coached at the college level under Nick Saban as well. So I think there's enough evidence to suggest that Brian Daboll deserves one of these head coaching jobs, that if he winds up in Houston, yes, the representation is a dynamic, it's a factor, but there are a lot of other reasons that I think would make Texans fans really happy. Because if I'm Deshaun Watson, what I care about in a head coach is someone that, A, is going to help fix the culture, and then, B, somebody who's got a strong track record with offenses. And, you know, this Texans offense probably isn't that far away when you have number 4 under center.
No question. All right, before you go, how much are the Browns going to miss Stefanski this weekend?
A ton. I don't care what people say about, you know, he's going to be there all week during the virtual preparation. It's And by the way, it could be other coaches as well that are not available for the Browns on Sunday. It's your entire operation's compromised. And there's a confidence that Kevin Stefanski carries himself with, but it's a humble confidence, right? He's not this super, there's not, I'm trying to think of the appropriate description, but he's not explosive on the sidelines. He's just sort of confident, sort of steely. I think that's going to be missed on Sunday, and it's already a huge challenge playing the Steelers, going to Pittsburgh. Not that home field advantage matters that much this year, but the Steelers at full strength are a different team. I think it's a huge, huge challenge for the Browns. I would have picked the Steelers as it were, but I do think the battle is very much uphill for Cleveland on Sunday night.
Well, the guy I feel worse for is Joel Bitonio. I mean, he was on all those crappy.
I feel terrible for him.
Pro bowler on all those crappy teams, and now as soon as he gets in the playoffs, oh, you can't play. But don't worry. You can maybe play next week if you beat the Steelers. Oh, great! Thanks, guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that'll be. You're right. I mean, longest tenured Brown. He's been through so much. 0-16, 1-15. The guy deserves a break, and naturally, when the one break comes, he does not even get the chance to participate in.
Great follow on Twitter @FieldYates. I see your tweet about the Ravens and Titans, the two most teams with the most rushing yards of 2020, hooking up. In the playoffs, the first time since the 49ers and Bengals in Super
Bowl. That won't surprise me.
How about that? In Super Bowl 23. Yeah. So that is wild. And that monkey is getting big on Lamar's back, isn't it? That playoff monkey?
He better win, man. If he doesn't win on Sunday, think about the conversations that are arising surrounding his future and whether he is prepared right now to be the guy that can take this franchise to new heights, because their roster is not getting cheaper, right? They got a lot of good players on defense, which is going to make their ability to add a bunch of pieces that much more difficult. Huge, huge Sunday ahead for Lamar Jackson.
Field Yates right here on ESPN. Great get, Lance. We appreciate it.
Appreciate it,
Field, thanks for being here. We really appreciate the insight.
Phil. All right, guys. Take care.
All right. There's Field Yates right here, 832 ESPN 97.5. We take your calls on the other side, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
835 ESPN 97.5. A little behind on breaks, but we got plenty of time for you to get in. 713-780-3776. First Ward Fred has been waiting a while. Let's get his thoughts on what's going on here with the Texans. Hey, First Ward Fred.
Good morning, gentlemen.
How are you doing, Fred?
Big fan. Good morning, gentlemen. I'm a big fan of y'all. First time caller. Long time listener, man. Just calling on the whole situation. You know, I think it's a joke. Texans always with the same old scenarios. It's to the point where it's hard to even follow this team, man. But my whole reason of calling was because everybody talked about Easterby being Littlefinger and whatnot. But I was thinking about it, man, and Cal, he's the little titty-sucking boy. He's the Robin, Lord of the Veil. You know what I'm talking about?
Stop. Well, Dale, why'd you just put the headphones on?
Because the only people who heard that were the stream in 92.5, because he can't say what he said.
He said tea-sucking
boy.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
No.
Oh.
And he's...
Oh, did he say that word?
Yes.
What is it? Robin of the Veil?
Robin of the Veil.
Yeah.
Saw at the very end, all grown up, at the final episode. But yeah, Robin was on Mother's Milk at like 12 still.
Yeah.
I don't know if Cal is doing that.
No. Come on. First Ward Fred, you got to clean it up, first of all. We appreciate you calling and listening all these years, First Ward Fred. But you got to clean your act up, okay? We can't be saying tea sucking.
Well, he could have said tea, but he said the full
word. Say tea.
Said tis nitty.
Technically, I guess you can say that.
Right. I mean, I didn't say the word. The tis nitty.
Yeah, okay. Just pretend that John is Snoop and he can mangle words and say what he wants, because Snoop did that like a decade ago and made that popular.
Yeah.
Is he Robin of the Veil?
No.
His mother tells him to do everything? What's okay? What's more insulting, Robin of the Vale or Caldor, or the King from?
I don't think any of it is really.
It's not great. None of it.
No,
not for Cal at least.
No. Let's get Keith in here. Hey, Keith.
Good morning, gentlemen. Watching you on the 97.5 Twitter feed. Maybe the Texans need to change their logo and get like a half bull and a half patriot. Would that be possible?
Anyway, I got to work on that. But yeah, you're right. Or maybe just a picture of Bob Lamont on their helmet. And it's just a guy with the curly hair. If you haven't seen him, I don't know if it's. I think it's Bob Lamont, not Lamonte. I think it's Lamont. But I really want to know what Bob Lamont is going to do with JJ. Is he going to deal him? Is he going to cut him? Like I haven't. I'd like for them to. Bob's going to have to make a decision on what Nick and Jack are going to do. About
is he going to get a parking space?
Yeah, Bob Lamont should.
Well, I wanted to ask you guys. You know. I think Daryl Morey said something a while back, and it really applies to the NFL as well. And he said, you're looking for players that can outperform their contracts. And that's the biggest key. And you look at the way the Patriots manage the salary cap, they don't hold on to big contracts long. If you remember, you get a guy like Darrelle Revis, they paid him all that money, then they said, see ya. And, you know, Caserio was around for this, right?
Yes.
How do you think, I mean, you look at the way, and my question is, do you think, you know, to me, the toughest executive job in sports is managing the NFL salary cap because of the sheer numbers of it, man, because you've got to have quality throughout your roster. And I thought it was really interesting what the Patriots have done with the salary cap over the years when you look at it. I mean, you didn't see those big, long – you didn't see a J.J. Watt hanging around for all these years making a ton of money every year. They would – drop guys.
Well, this is a weird thing, but they drafted those guys. Like Willie McGinnis now look, Mike Vrabel, Willie McGinnis, Teddy Bruschi, Damian Woody. Well, Damian was with the Jets first, and then he went to the Patriots. Or is it the other way around? Yeah. But they basically drafted half of ESPN. But or NFL Network. But seriously, Willie McGinnis, Richard Seymour, Chandler Jones. Boy, they've had some now.
No,
they understood what the front seven was supposed to look like. Logan Mankins, they understood what the offensive line was supposed to look like. But something has kind of happened over the recent past.
They knew how to get players now. They had good players.
Oh, they traded for Rodney Harrison.
They picked up Stephon Gilmore.
They picked up Junior. Yeah, picked up Stephon Gilmore. Eugene Chung has been a good player. They picked up
Patrick.
Patrick Chung. Patrick Chung. They picked up... Junior Seau, when he still had something left in the tank, and he was a big part of what they did. Like, there was a time when all that was warranted. It's just that's a super old narrative right now from a personnel standpoint. But the points that Keith made about, they also dealt Chandler Jones. They also dealt Richard Seymour.
That was a question I was going to have, is are they going to have the same, because the Texans are historically, they will hang on to, no, you're a Texan and whatnot. Man, the Patriots ain't afraid to cut bait.
Good.
Yeah. No. Well, is Caserio going to go? No. Listen, we'll find out right away with JJ. We will find out right away with JJ because, let's face it, JJ's time has come and gone, $17 million. We'll find out whether or not they still have that heartfelt, he's our guy and we love him and, you know, he is a Texan for life, or we doing it the Patriots way. When we don't need you anymore, we're getting rid of you. That ain't how the Texans have done it. So we'll find out whether or not they do that the Patriot way and have very little concern for guys' feelings as opposed to best for the organization.
Nick Caserio is going to do – the one thing you're going to better get used to now is there's the old way of just – because Cal is a weak owner, relatively speaking. That's how you're in the situation. Nick's going to run a team, and he's going to run it like he's been taught and like he's learned and like he's been a part of. They will get rid of guys a step early rather than a step late. They will not give out Whitney merciless contracts. Trust me, it's a low bar to reach, but the GMing is about to get a lot better around here. Whether you like the Patriot way or the Patriot South or whatever, the way that they handle their business is about to get it way better.
As opposed to family, it's a business.
Yeah.
It's a business.
Well, that's how it's always been.
Well, that's right. But that's not how it's been with the Texans. That's not how it's been with the Texans.
Now, they like football character, but sometimes a little edgy player is going to make the roster. They also really covet intelligent players at certain positions, highly intelligent, football smart, football savvy players. One is at wide receiver. What really concerns me, though, the Texans need wide receiver, and they're drafting N'Keal Harry, Jacoby Myers, two guys who did not separate, and they're a big part of the problems right now for Tom Brady, and especially
need a smart wide receiver. I need a fast one.
I need one who gets open.
Yeah,
I need guys who get open.
843 ESPN 975-7378-0-3776. More thoughts on Caserio hire on the other side. If you've got one, let's go. 7-3-7-8-0-3-7-7-6.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. This is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. For those of you who haven't heard, Nick Caserio, the new general manager, will be named today by your Houston Texans. Had the interview yesterday and named right away. Hey, listen. It could be a great hire. I hope it's a great hire. I hope Nick Caserio comes in and cleans this up and cleans up this roster, cleans up this salary cap mess. I hope he organizes it perfectly. I hope it all works out great. The optics of it with Jack Easterby and the whole plan, which has taken a year and a half to finally come to pass, is the optics of it look like crap. All of the interviews, all of the search committees, all of the consultants that they put together, all of this smoke all around this hire, all around this search, and it now, that 2 days after the Patriots season ends, do they name Nick Caserio as their general manager? If that was the case all along, I know that you got the Rooney Rule. I guess you got to have some kind of you have to have some kind of optics of it being fair to all candidates. I guess. So I guess that's why.
Guess.
But you could have done it better. Give us. I mean, did you need Caserio in the building right away as a GM? I mean, the season's not even over.
You could have tricked. I mean, you could have tricked us a little bit. You could have fooled us better. Yeah. It's not. It's really not about Nick Caserio. I think Nick Caserio could end up doing a good job. I really do. But the way that this is being run is a little. It just feels like Cal hasn't learned anything, and that Jack can still puppeteer him. You know, I wish Nick would just get rid of Jack and just get his guys in, and we could start anew. Their problem, especially if they hire Brian Daboll, who by all accounts, he's done a great job with Josh Allen in that offense. He really has. I mean, he has a good feel for what they need to run and what they need to do. The problem you have now is, you know, we've talked about it so much. There's stories now. It looks like an agent is controlling this whole thing. It looks like an agent and Jack Easterby are controlling this whole thing. It looks like the whole thing's been a setup. Well, all that goes away if you win. We don't care. I mean, as long as you win, that's ultimately what matters. But the pressure to win right away is going to be huge, and they're not built to win right away. They don't have the setup to win right away.
No. And that's going to be something that you're going to have to convince Deshaun. And listen, the tweet that Deshaun put out last night, the more things change, .. which is the more they stay the same, it could well have been about the Kenosha situation. It could well have been about that and not about the Nick Caserio hire. Because everybody was like, oh my gosh, Nick Deshaun is in. We'll see. Although, we'll see. We'll see whether or not.
I have my doubts, too.
I think
he would have just come right out and said something if it was about Kenosha.
You know, the rationalization, not necessarily by you guys, but if you're trying to find a way to make this seem like a good move, before it's already officially announced, makes me feel like it'll be uphill climb for this to work. I don't like the optics. Forget about the optics. I don't like the incestuous part of this because you know what? When Brian Daboll gets hired, whoever Bob Lamont's client is, it'll be like, why is Bob Lamont running the Texans? It'll feel like. all of this says that this isn't going to work. You have to hope and pray that Brian Caserio is Nick Caserio will reverse what has happened in New England the last 5 or 6 years. He will be different. That roster building process will be different because the last 5 or 6 years, that roster has, the talent depletion has continued. It hasn't changed.
No.
There hasn't been a step up. So we talk about how he comes from a smart football organization, and it was all the talk. Was it Brady?
Was it
Belichick?
We can't trust Dolphin Dell?
Yeah, you know who. Yeah, you're right, because we'll take your picks again.
But you also have Patriots. You've got Patriots East over there running your show.
And so far, so good. But you know what?
Thank you.
It didn't come across. Maybe Chris Greer and Brian Flores have the same agent. Maybe this happens everywhere, and we're not.
Where did Marvin Allen scout?
I don't know. Where did he scout?
New England Patriots.
But how long was he?
Three New England Patriots run the show over there. Marvin Allen, Chris Greer, and Brian Flores.
Well, Reggie McKenzie is there, too.
Who?
Reggie McKenzie is there, too.
Has he been there the whole time?
He's been there.
Listen. What are the odds that it's actually, we keep blaming Jack Easterby for orchestrating this whole thing. What if it's Bob Lamont that's pulling all the strings?
That's what I'm saying.
Everyone thinks he's the wizard, actually.
Maybe they're hearing this and going, maybe we're going to have to hire Joe Brady. Maybe we're going to have to go away from a Bob Lamont guy.
Well, who is Joe Brady represented by?
He's not represented by Lamont.
Okay. It could work, sure, but it's a whole lot of, well, if this goes this way, and it doesn't feel like it's going to work.
I don't think Bob Lamont will have it, though. I don't think he'll let that
happen. He'll allow them to hire someone else?
No, I don't think he'll allow them to hire Joe Brady.
He's the Texans' kingmaker now?
Apparently he is. Yeah,
that's what it looks like.
Let's get John in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, John.
Yeah, this whole Texan thing, this is from a person that was at the expansion draft. I had my PSLs bought in 2000, before 2 years before the games even started. I sat in the front row for over a decade and missed maybe one game, okay, that whole time, including scrimmages and preseason. All right. The last 6 or 8 years, I've been indifferent. They tried Patriot South. Now they're going to try Patriot South 2.0. I'm done. Right now, I would rather have my testicles shaved with a belt sander than support these jackoffs.
Say that.
I'm done.
Well, there that is.
You didn't dump that. You didn't dump that.
Yes, I did. Yeah, he did.
Why would he do that?
Because he said...
J-offs? We can't say that?
I'm not sure.
Well, it depends. How many jacks do you have?
Yeah.
I could be one away from what I need. What would that make me?
Mm-hmm.
You're a giant J-off, apparently.
you can't call him a bunch of
I don't.
J-offs.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Let that man do what he wants to do.
Well, apparently he'd rather get his junk sanded by a sandbelt or whatever he said.
The testes.
He
brought up testes and J-off.
There's all these things,
John,
I don't want.
Man, too comfortable.
Everyone's too comfortable on this show. I blame Lance.
Let's get...
it shouldn't be me.
Let's get Troy in here. Hey, Troy.
Yeah. How you guys doing this morning?
Good.
Okay, so I wanted to say something about Nick Caserio. I think the last caller was... A little dramatic. I feel like the hire was really, really a good hire. I feel optimistic about it now. It could possibly be the beginning of a really good thing. I'm just concerned about who the next head coach can be. I'm pretty sure it's not going to be Eric Bieniemy, but I'm thinking it's going to be Brady. That'll be a good hire, I think. But I want to see what you guys have to say about that.
So he said think about it. All the other candidates that were interviewed by for GM, none of them were as qualified as Caserio. So having Easterby was actually a benefit to getting a far better person on the job. I think Jay is saying that seriously. It's not crazy that Troy that the Texans are we overreacting to this? Because I saw it on Twitter. I've heard it on Sports Talk. Are we overreacting to this? To Nick Caserio.
Like I said, I hope it's great. I hope it is. It's awesome. But the Easterby connection and all of the smoke and all of the, it just feels dirty. The whole thing just feels
dirty. I mean, and I feel there's some incompetence as well. Are we overreacting? I'll ask you again.
Yeah.
If considering the track record the last 5 or 6 years with the Patriots roster, and if he's doing 95% of the GM duties, yes, Bill Belichick has final say, but he's bringing players to Bill Belichick, and he decides if he wants them. If you look at the last 5 or 6 years, is that resume a good one to become a GM as far as roster building?
Well, to Field Yates's point, they never draft high, right, in the first round. That's where you get most of your good players.
A lot
players.
Of times they trade back.
I don't know this because I haven't kept track.
Okay, besides drafting, someone, free agency, Mike, salary cap,
Mike
all the
says
stuff.
This. You might mention he's drafted a grand total of 2 Pro Bowlers in 9 years.
Yeah, that's not great.
It was a Landon Roberts one. Was he a Pro Bowler?
I don't know.
I don't know. He might have been. Landon Roberts might have made the Pro Bowl.
I don't know. Special teamer? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe.
No, it's going to be. Oh, no. Stephon Gilmore wasn't drafted.
No. He wasn't drafted.
No. Brown? No. Hightower?
Landon Roberts.
No. In the last 9 years, that doesn't count to 2012. They had Chandler Jones, Dante Hightower back in 2012. Logan Ryan? Was he ever a Pro Bowler?
I'll look it up.
There's a chance. Anyway, he says, and I don't know because I don't know who's been in the Pro Bowl. Joe Thuney, has he been a Pro Bowler?
Logan Ryan has not made a Pro Bowl.
Who?
Joe Thuney, has he made a Pro Bowl?
I'm looking him up. But Logan Ryan, not a Pro Bowler, ever.
Ever.
I have to look up Joe Thuney.
Okay, whatever the case may be.
he's at the parties.
Listen, I'm not buying that. There are plenty of guys who are really, really good players that you get late in the first. Second round.
Oh, sure.
You know, you can still really draft really, really well. How Seattle won it, John Schneider drafted Richard Sherman in the fifth round.
Now, let me just say
Cam
this, too.
Chancellor in the fifth round.
Let me just say this, too. Field Yates has not been in that building for quite some time.
Yeah.
All right? It's probably been 7 years. So we also don't know if the power structure has changed where Bill's taken a stronger role.
Yeah.
We also don't know that.
Or he's taking a lesser role.
Yeah,
we don't know.
We really don't know. That's the magic of having a system like that. Although it's assumed Bill does most of that stuff. But what Field told us actually is contradictory.
Well, it's
he said 95% of it is actually done by Nick Caserio.
It's not unlike here where we constantly went, well, was that Rick's pick or was that Bill's pick? Or who's to blame for this roster, whoever constructed this roster? We never knew. We never knew who was to blame, and that's a lot of the same situation here. Listen, this could be a great – I hope he comes in. And Nick Caserio, I think, I kind of believe, what with six Super Bowl rings. Now, he was a young guy that was just new to the organization when he won the first three. But this is a guy that can command some respect in that organization. Well, Jack Easterby's going to know his situation. He's going to know his place. Nick Caserio knows he's not a personnel guy. So this could be a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful hire. Yet this whole Patriot way, this whole Jack Easterby, this whole scheming, all of this stuff, it stinks. Maybe the smell will go off of it after a couple of years when we get some drafts in here. And by the way, it ain't going to be easy. Maybe we'll find out whether or not he's going to do it the Patriot way as soon as we find out what he does with J.J. Watt. That's $17 million that you could use along with a whole bunch of other guys that you need to trim. The fat you needs to be trimmed off this roster. We'll find out in a hurry whether or not this dude is going to come in here and do it the Patriot way.
By the way, that's not the Patriot way. That's good football way to get rid of J.J. Watt, to get rid of Whitney Merciless.
Well, like that. But. Listen,
we're only comparing it to here because it's so atrocious here.
Deion Branch was a Super Bowl MVP. Beat it. Ty Law, Lawyer Malloy, Rodney Harrison, the defensive lineman that they said went to the Raiders.
Chance.
Beat it. I mean, there was guy after guy after guy. When you would think that you had Super Bowl, these guys were stars of your team and Super Bowl. They won Super Bowls for you. They had no regard for them.
Well, part of that is because, you know, they had maybe the best coach of all time in Tom Brady. Now you have a great quarterback here. You can start disregarding and trading guys away when you have a Bill Belichick to scheme and game plan. They got to find that guy, too, here.
Oh, absolutely. All right, top of the hour. We got more. Don't you go anywhere. Plenty more to talk about.
I'm not going anywhere.
No, you got to stay. But you also got to talk about insurance.
Homeowners insurance is something you have to have, but you don't have to pay outlandish amounts of money. You really don't. All you have to do is make sure
that you're shopping your homeowner's insurance against other companies. And one of the best ways to do it, one of the fastest ways to do it, look, if you've been staying with the same company, you're kind of lazy or very trusting or both. I know I was both. I'm not afraid to admit it. I was both. I was lazy and I was trusting. But then when I texted the word money to 232323, this legitimately happened. In 15 seconds, I was able to get a quote back, and I found that I could save over $760. And this was 3 years ago when I first did this. I had a good friend of mine save $1,300. The average savings is over $900. Make sure that you shop your homeowner's insurance with an A-rated company. What TGS Insurance does is they shop you with A-rated companies and they find you the best rates. You can add flood insurance as well, and you can get the same insurance coverage but for less money in most cases. Make sure that you at least text. There's no strings attached. So text the word money right now to 232323 and just find out what you could be paying for your homeowner's insurance and how much money you could be saving.
ESPN 97.5.